John Boy.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not something that you could get from any particular digital medium is worth watching. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PaxSync through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us at www.freedomtrainradio.com or on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. Be sure to head to all of those places and give us a review. Then be sure to head to www.paxinc.org to show some love and support for our sponsors. PAX Inc. is a black activist and advocacy organization focused on developing the black community through a shift in culture, education, and economics. As always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the black community. So the things we look at will be looked at with the racial component involved and with some lessons that can be used to improve the community should you so choose to do so. During this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be taking a look at a documentary produced by Allison Clayman entitled Take Your Pill. In this documentary, we are taken through the various pressures that create the urge to utilize mentally or cognitive enhancement drugs, amphetamines. We're talking about Ritalin, we're talking about Adderall, we're talking about those sorts of things. Various social conversations regarding race and class with relation to drug use is brought up and the effect of the drugs. On this show, we will be giving some of the information about the documentary as well as some of our own thoughts about what we can take from this documentary. In this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be talking about Take Your Pill. This was a documentary that wasn't so much about amphetamines as it was about the people who use them and their experiences and motivations. And this was highlighted by the fact that after the entire hour and a half long runtime of the documentary, they hadn't really bothered to even tell people what stimulants were or how they work in any great detail. Like, they went into it, but they just kind of glossed over it. This also wasn't a film about all amphetamines, as meth and various other forms of illegal amphetamines were scarcely mentioned at all. And it also really wasn't a film against amphetamines, because all of the stories they told had somewhat happy endings, with most of the people saying that they would do them again. But it really wasn't for the drug either, because it really didn't present the drug in a super favorable light. And most of the people interviewed seemed to be looking forward to moving forward with their lives without the drug. So the film was kind of rocking back and forth along this spectrum of the drug being beneficial and being harmful at the same time, which I actually enjoyed a bit, because that's in line with reality. You know, most things in life, there are some positives and there are some negatives. And for some people, the positives outweigh the negatives. And for others, the negatives outweigh the positive. It all depends on the various factors involved in your situation and how they all react and interact with whatever particular thing is going on. So I actually like that. It touched on pro sports as well as Olympic stars. If you remember, Simone Biles and Michael Phelps were facing some backlash regarding them being flagged for various drugs that fall in this category of amphetamines. And it was brought up that they had therapeutic use exemptions, which was actually used to pivot into painting the picture of the surprisingly large amount of therapeutic use exemptions given to American athletes for various attention disorders that they may have. And that becomes even more interesting when you consider that a lot of these, to do any sort of sport or activity on a high level, requires an extraordinarily high amount of focus. So all of that meshes together to create an interesting picture that even though they didn't really paint the picture about these activities needing focus, the mere fact that they bring it up led me in that direction. So, and those of you, I'm sure you remember the whole conversation about whether or not that was a form of cheating, whether or not using these focus enhancing drugs, these mental boosting drugs, were a form of cheating. So there's a discussion that's always going on in the realm of sports as to what's acceptable, what's allowable, and what should be banned. And the most interesting part of this documentary for me was the question of, do they actually provide a boost to cognitive performance? To which, according to a study presented in the documentary, is a solid no. But it does seem to improve your confidence, which has a range of other benefits. So it's not that it makes people smarter. It simply makes people believe that they're smarter. Which, as I'm sure most of you know, if you believe something to be true, especially with regards to your capabilities, then that will enhance your abilities, your capabilities. So that was interesting. And even doing other research, looking at other studies, it seems to be a mixed bag as to what exactly they do. While it seems to be pretty solid that they don't, in fact, make people smarter, the ways in which they help people seem to be kind of back and forth as well. People going, you know, various different points of views and perspectives being supported by various different arguments. So even that is interesting to me because it doesn't help you. Like, there are no studies that show that the drug does, in fact, make you smarter. There are studies that suggest that it can enhance your memory recall ability. All of the studies suggest that it helps you with focusing. But even that's a mixed bag because, as was pointed out in the documentary, these drugs lock your mind in on a particular subject. And if you get locked in on a distraction, you could waste an extraordinarily large amount of time focusing on a distraction. So even with that, there are good and bad. But it was that was interesting to me, is that these drugs are so-called smart drugs that are going to make you more intelligent. And the studies show that when they compare people on the drug to people in on a placebo in a blind experiment, the only difference is that the people that are actually on the drug feel smarter. They're more confident in their ability and what they've done. So we move forward from there. Now, even to that, and that gets to be significant as well, because then you begin to start talk about what these things do and how they do what they do, which they didn't really get into very, like I said earlier, they didn't really get into that very deeply in this documentary. They did gloss over it, they did cover it, but they did not really dig into that. And that is something that, but all of those points are things that lead to deeper and further discussions, should you choose to go there. The topic of mental health enhancers is interesting and makes me think of the movie Limitless, which was mentioned in the documentary. And Limitless is a film about a drug that causes its user to experience a dramatic increase in brain function at an extreme cost. So this drug that they took in the film, it made you like this super, super, super genius, like almost like you could read the flow of time and see the future and anticipate futuristic events type genius level. But of course, again, extreme cost for that sort of extreme boost. But I think we do have to be careful in this area, because it's not just about the positive effects, which seem to be heavily emphasized in the film. And that might be because a lot of these people were using it specifically for the short-term effects. And one of the experts in the documentary did make a point of talking about people are trading the short-term gains for the long-term cost. But if we're being honest, a lot of these people are driven, and most people in the world are driven by short-term games. They're not really thinking about what's going to happen down the line when they do what they do. They're just thinking about the immediate effect of what they're doing. And so in that, I think that is a topic that requires a sort of culture shift for us to even really dig into and make changes to on that level. But I'm thinking about dependency as well, because amphetamines are stimulants, and stimulants are otherwise known as uppers, basically send your body into fight or flight mode. And they do that by triggering mechanisms that increase adrenal levels. So you got a whole bunch of additional adrenaline flowing through your head and your body, which is what causes your blood rate to increase and your heart to beat faster and your breathing to become more rapid, because you're getting amped up to run or fight. So all of those things are happening to get you ready to get out of a dangerous situation to keep you alive. And this also accounts for the increase in alertness and focus. Your body is not going to go to sleep if it feels like you're about to die. Sleep is not something that's going to happen. So even to those people that are like, I just feel like I'm wired and I can stay up all night studying. Well, of course you can. This drug forces your body into a state of fight or flight. So, you know, but we're going into that. That's one of the things uppers do. And the other things uppers do by triggering the mechanisms that increase neurotransmitter productions, especially the ones for dopamine, which is why you feel good when you take it, because dopamine is the happy neurotransmitter. When you get a shot of dopamine, you feel euphoric, you feel good, you feel happy, you feel like all is right in the world. But the problem is, if these drugs are utilized for too long, they affect your body's ability to appropriately manage these mechanisms and triggers without the drug. So you become dependent on the drug to maintain what you deem as your normal state, which is basically addiction. But because we don't understand how addiction works, you have a lot of people saying that I'm on this drug, but I can stop when I want. And here's the fact, though. Anybody can stop any particular thing whenever they want. That's not what determines addiction. What would determine addiction, for me anyways, would be, are there going to be severe negative withdrawal type consequences for you stopping your activity? And in the case, once your body becomes addicted to a substance, whether you can or whether you do or do not have the willpower to quit, you're still addicted to it because your body can't function on a normal level without it. And that's one of the things that we're beginning to see now. We're not beginning to see, because we've been seeing it for a while. This amphetamine thing that's going on now isn't anything new. I mean, but we're seeing that now, and it's becoming more problematic, because those same kids that were using amphetamines in college 10, 20 years ago, which they're still using it in college now, but those same amphetamines that were being used in college by those kids 10, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, now they're being used by adults in the workplace who feel like they need these drugs to keep up. So you're developing a society that is addicted to another drug. In addition to the opioid crisis we have going on now, we have an amphetamine crisis going on now. And it's getting to be even more hell, because a lot of people are experimenting with mixing the two drugs together, because amphetamines boost a lot of the pain deadening qualities of opioids, as well as a lot of the other qualities of opioids. But when you mix those two together, you get a dangerous concoction. So that's one of the things that I think we have to look at is addiction. And this is something that we see on a lot of different levels, especially even when you begin to look at people and you begin to think about how they work with their coffee, how people can't function without their coffee. Oh, I have a bad day. I can't work anymore without my coffee. Can't function. You know, and these same people that say I can quit coffee, or I can give coffee up, or there's no harm in doing coffee or anything like that. But coffee is an upper, just like Ritalin, just like Adderall, and just like crystal meth. So it operates in that same sphere in terms of its abilities on the body. The documentary went into, when we're talking about drugs, it also went into microdoses of LSD. Now, it didn't go deep into microdoses of these extreme toxins, which it sounds like an interesting conversation. Definitely does. Something that I would definitely love to learn more about. Matter of fact, I did a substantial amount of reading on microdosing of these extreme or these substances that we've been taught to believe are extreme. And make no doubts about it. I do believe LSD is extreme. I'm not in any way, shape, or fashion saying that it's not. But it is an interesting concept. The documentary did bring up the point of the creator of LSD, I believe it was, saying that if his company had spent more time looking at LSD in terms of microdoses and what it does for the body at those very, very, very tiny levels, there would be no market for amphetamines right now. But, you know, who's to say we wouldn't have another problem going on right now? So anyways, all of that was interesting when you begin to talk about dependency and the way the drugs interact with our society, because we have to face the fact that we live in a society. And the documentary pointed this out. We live in a society where there is a lot of pressure to be successful in terms of competition, to be better than everybody else. And that is going to push a lot of people who don't feel like they can cut it otherwise to experimenting with drugs to try to give themselves an artificial boost or a leg up on the competition. And especially when doing such things becomes socially acceptable because everybody's doing it, you know? So I'm a firm believer that if everybody jumped off a bridge, well, we'll say this. I'm a firm believer that if there was a group of 100 people and 75 of them jumped off the bridge, out of the 25 left, probably 20 of them would jump as well just because the other 75 did. So anyways, moving forward. That's neither here nor there. That's side notes. But what was also interesting is that your body does begin to build the resistance to these things, which means you need more and more of the drug to get the same effect. We see the same effect across the spectrum of drugs. No matter what is going on, your body will eventually begin to develop a level of tolerance for the drug, and you're going to need to increase your intake to get the same buzz. We see that no matter what the drug is. And look, you can't tell me otherwise. Well, you could, but you would need a whole bunch of data to back you up, because I've seen a whole bunch of data that says that that's true. So, but here's the bigger question, because all of that's cool. What does that mean for us in the black community? For us, I think we have to be especially watchful because we put a lot of undue pressure on each other to be successful and conform to a society, which, in my opinion, puts us at risk of seeing the types of increases and the amount of children diagnosed with attention disorders and subsequently being put on these medications that don't really have any sort of studies about the long-term effects of being on them. And this amphetamine epidemic has been going on since the 1930s when they were first battling with this amphetamine epidemic. Harder drugs come out that replace it in the limelight, like with the opioid crisis right now. But amphetamines has largely been this thing existing in American society for the last 100 years that we just have not effectively looked at or dealt with. And in a world where black people, especially black children, are unfairly and unduly, unwarrantedly, unjustly labeled with a lot of these disorders and then slapped with a drug or a medication that's going to change essentially who they are. Because one thing this documentary did show, and that I know from talking to people, is that when you get on these drugs, you do feel different. And a lot of kids don't like taking these pills. That's what they're forced to take them, because they don't like the way they feel while they're taking them. They don't like the person that they become. They feel inhibited. And there's a reason for that. Your body is not meant to exist in a permanent state of fight or flight. And that's for those that are misdiagnosed, which I firmly believe a lot of us are misdiagnosed. And there is also the point of spectrum to understand that the drug does, per a lot of the data that I've looked at anyways, the drug does different things to somebody that actually has attention disorder versus a normal person. So, but it changes both people either way. If you have attention disorder, it calms your mind down and brings you to what is perceived to be a normal level. If you don't have it, it does the exact opposite. It amps your mind up. It overstimulates you. So it's real interesting how this works out. But I do think for black people, we have to be careful about any type of medication, because even when they're doing the studies, they're not doing the studies on us to see how it affects us, to see how we interact with these drugs. And so largely we end up, especially with all of the bias in the healthcare systems and the bias in the educational system and all of these other biases they have, we end up getting the short end of the stick more often than not. And just like they're treating this as a healthcare emergency in their community, they would be locking us up for doing this exact same thing. And we've seen so many examples of that I don't even feel like I need to go through it again. We're living in a current example of that right now. But we need to another point, we do need to be careful. We need to put together groups, our own scientific groups, our own healthcare groups that are going to study these chemicals and their impact and their interactions with us and our bodies and our genetics. And we also need to pay more attention to our children and what they're actually saying to us about how they feel when they're on these medications. There were two black families in this documentary. And one black family had a mother who would not let her son take the drugs because she understood the system that she lived in. And another family who the son was forcing the mother was forcing her son to take the drug, even though he did not want to. And the interesting part of that is the mother who wouldn't let her son take the drug, he ended up graduating, functioning just fine, getting a job as a manager, an artist manager, and taking the drug as an adult to do better with his job. Meanwhile, the mother who forced her son to take the drug ended up losing control of her son and sending him to live with his father, which is another component. You wonder how many male role models this boy had, but that's a whole separate discussion. But that's what ended up happening. So in this case, but what bothered me about that scene, especially with regards to what I'm talking about black people, this boy was sitting in the doctor's office and the doctor asked him if everything was okay. And he said, I get headaches sometimes. And the doctor said, well, are you taking the drug regularly? And he was like, nah, sometimes I don't take it. And he was like, and so let me guess, when you don't take the drug and then you go back to taking the drug, you get the headaches. And he was like, yeah, that's when I get the headaches. And it was like, well, if you take the drug all the time, you won't get the headaches. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, is that really the solution to keep him under the influence of these pharmaceuticals, of this drug, to prevent their headache? Obviously, if his brain is, if there's something going on where the drug is causing a headache, the solution to that should not be that you need to permanently be on this drug. That just doesn't even sound right. And that brings me to another point. We need more doctors that are actually going to listen to us, that are actually going to care about us, care about the culture, care about our feelings, care about who we are, and understand that when they were in medical school, more often than not, they did not learn the tools necessary to treat us. I talk about it all the time. We're dealing with that right now when we begin to look at what's going on with black women and breast cancer. And we're finding out that black women's, their breasts are denser than white women's breasts, which some people are speculating is what's leading to the increased breast cancer rates amongst black women. When we begin to talk about vitamin D and how now it's being found out that black people don't need as much vitamin D in their bodies as white people do. So for decades, we've been getting diagnosed as vitamin D deficient and given these pills, and we don't need them. So there's a lot going on here to unpack, but we definitely need to take ourselves more seriously. We need to stop trying to accommodate a society and a social norm that does not seek to understand us. We need to stop treating people as if they know more about us than we know about ourselves simply because they have on a white coat. And I thoroughly respect the medical profession. I really do. But I also thoroughly respect the fact that I live in my body. And I know how I feel, and I know what's working, and I know what's not working. And just because you went to school for 12 years and didn't spend any time studying people that look like me in any sort of detail, and in most cases don't even know what's going on with my life outside of the pain, because, and that's not your fault, that's the way the medical system is set up, but don't take the time to take a holistic approach to medicine, to get to know me, to get to know my family, to get to know my history, to get to know what's going on, to get to know my culture, my ethnicity, and how it affects my genes, to get to know all those things, to begin to understand what other ways you could treat me outside of medications and how those medications are going to interact with me, period. You know, we've got to do better in that regards. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because I believe I'm beating the dead horse. We have got to do better. On the whole, I thought the film was a solid 3 out of 5 stars. It didn't really leave me with any lasting impressions or thoughts. Some of the speakers made some great perspective changing points, but the project itself was left too shallow. There was too much deeper information out for me to consider this a must watch. It wasn't there. It glossed over how these drugs work on a cellular level, which I think is mandatory for films like this, because if you really want to understand what's going on, you have to understand how these things work. It glossed over the effects that these drugs have on people that actually have attention disorders, especially in relation to those who are abusing the drugs, which would have been an excellent angle to take. It did have stats and figures, which is something I always like. I say that about every documentary. But the commentary and the narrative was just too shallow for it to be meaningful, in my opinion, in any major way. It didn't teach much about the drug or how it works, nor did it really go very deep into the problems. It also didn't do a very good job of connecting prescription amphetamines to crystal meth. All of these things would have made the film a better film. And with all that said, of course, the film will be linked on the Lessons from the Screen page. The Netflix page will be linked there, so you can find it there. And as always, thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next week for another episode of
Lessons from the Screen. From what the we screen. Mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.